right, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the bathroom in rehab. It is the Uncovering Anomalies podcast. As always, that is I Want to Believe Adam, and I am sober Topher.
I'm in the stall next door. I'm right next to you.
it's really weird. We decided to do a special, like, what are those things like when a Good Morning America, they have like a segment from another part of the studio or another part of the country or something?
Like an affiliate kind of thing?
Yeah, well,
like our local affiliates in New York, that kind of thing?
No. Now we're going to go live to Kate down at the NASCAR. It's called every time that we hit record, man, I can't remember words.
I mean, I think it's genetic. I'm like that too. It's not our agent on the ground or like correspondent. No.
Well, that's the name of the person doing the reporting, but like there's a technical term for it. Anyway.
Oh, I wouldn't know then.
Let's move on. I'd Google if I wasn't recording from my phone. And last time I tried that, I hung up on you on accident. So.
Really? So if you leave the so now you're on the phone doing this. Is it like on the browser on like Safari?
Yes.
So if you try opening a new tab. Is that what you tried before?
All right. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Oh, so it worked.
Oh, a remote segment. That's what I was looking for.
I wouldn't even known that remote segment.
Now I can't navigate back to.
Yes, we're coming to you live from the bathroom of rehab.
All right.
Oh, man. Miss you, Topher. I'm glad you're still there and staying strong and going through it. You know, it's very important.
I've made this joke several times here, and people don't seem to like it, but this is being sober on easy mode. It's like I can go if I leave, I'm out, and I don't want to be out. Insurance won't cover it, yada yada. So, you know, I'm staying. And then there's no way to get drunk or anything, so it's easy mode. And I have no desire to drink. The doctors have highly hinted at the fact that I'm really hurting myself here, so.
Why wouldn't they think that's funny? I mean, I think that's a perfect description of where you are. It is on easy mode because once you're out there in the world, you are tempted. There's commercials, there's movies, there's TV shows, and all they do is drink and smoke cigarettes. And you know, it really isn't easy. You know, and like I think that's a perfect description of where you are. You're protected in a way.
And see, this is what I said, and people are going, "No, it's harder. You can just leave at any time." I'm like. Well, yeah, but I want to keep my job and like have my insurance covered. Like $15,000 a day if I don't have insurance.
Holy crap. I mean, yeah,
it's not that much. I'm exaggerating, but it is very expensive.
I mean, I'm sure it's like a grand at least or 700 or something. It's like being in a resort, you know? You know, I mean, food, drink, coffee, all that, and board and staff taking care of you and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, meds. I mean, obviously we've got beds and bathroom and stuff, and you know it's not like we're paying extra for that. It's covered on the fees, so it is kind of like staying at a resort.
Yeah, what I think they don't like is that it brings out really the truth of it. and you know it goes on with our theme here. People just most people just can't handle the truth.
No, they cannot.
Yeah, and that's part of the predicament we're dealing with UAPs too. Man, there's a lot to get to, and this might be a really long show because there's long clips. I think we have to discuss, you know, pause and discuss and pause and discuss because a lot of these people say different things, which I think are pertinent, you know, to our discussions that we've had before. And I think we need to get in there and just say like, well, yeah, see, either confirm or deny or, you know, these things. But there's been a lot happening. In general, right, the UAP Disclosure Act was being messed with at the top levels. So we'll talk about that. But just to begin, I thought this was good too because it mixes up AI. It mixes up AI with the moon landings or with space and UAP.
Yeah, so this is super weird.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to have to read this because they are speaking in Russian, and this group now is presenting to Putin, right? Now, does this make us Putin apologists covering this? I don't know. But this group is presenting to Putin these AI's capability of finding out or labeling fake images and fake pictures, right? And it's really funny of what it does. So
you should mute it before we start, since it is in Russian.
Okay, so let's do it. So if we play, it goes. Are you sure the neural? Yeah.
Sorry, what? I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What? If it's in English, in
that Russian? doesn't look like Cyrillic. This looks Korean.
Or Japanese. It's Sputnik TV station. It could be
Korean. Maybe this is ripped from a translation of a Korean or Japanese or some
Asian. Okay. Or the communist, what is it called? CCN, their channel, the Chinese
CCP, channel. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so it goes, the neural network thinks almost everything in this photo is fake. He's pointing at a screen here. All right. And meanwhile, it raises no particular question about this photo taken by a Chinese lunar rover. And so this guy is talking to Putin, and he's looking at the screen. And then Putin, he goes, it believes this one is fake? And he's pointing at the screen. Yes, look, this is red, the other guy says. This is what Google's neural network thinks, not ours. So there will be no bias, is what. It's surprising, but it does believe so. The neural network has analyzed a lot of data, including light and dark contrast, etc. And then it believes the photo is synthetic. Very interesting, he says. So they were pointing at a lunar.
Yeah.
Our lunar images from the 1960s. So AIs, neural networks, says they're fake. Now, we've had many people say this, right? Over the years, books have been written, documentaries. I've always told people, like, since when those came out, I mean, I could be wrong too, but I always said that what we were shown was fake, yes, but we really went. Because if we really didn't go, China and Russia would have called us out. You know, I think we went in another way, anti-gravity way, like that kind of stuff, you know?
I think there's probably a large possibility that these photos were edited clear back, and we landed on the moon in 69, right? Maybe they were cleaned up and touched up, and that's what the neural interface, interlink, whatever they called it, maybe that's what it's detecting.
Doesn't make
it
right,
fake.
That it's,
we do know NASA doctors sometimes.
That's a good point. Yeah, that actually, and they erase things. So maybe it noticed that some things were erased, like, you know, because they do that. They have admitted, like, Mars images, lunar images, they'll remove things that are problematic. So maybe you're right. Maybe it saw that these things are edited. So if edited equals not real, then yeah. So you might be right with that.
Yeah. Now what's this?
So on Canva, I was playing around with their AI, right? So. Mm-hmm. No, wait, sorry. This is Dolly. So I went, Dolly is ChatGPT. So all I did was, no, I'm very sorry. Dolly does not do videos. So this was on Canva. Canva does videos. It has an AI version where it has images and videos. And then the video one, I was like, UFO crashing in the desert. Now it came up with this. And then what I did was I added some air noises to it. It's only 4 seconds long, but look at this thing. And it took me, what, like, I don't know, 2 minutes to make? Seriously, 2 minutes. That's it. It's only 4 seconds.
Yeah.
But isn't that nuts? I mean, if I can do this, and these guys who have very powerful computers and AI, I mean, it's just, that's it. I'm not going to believe anything anymore. Anything pre-2023, forget it. I mean, sorry, anything post-2023, forget it. It's going to, you know, no one should even, like, look at them. It'd be like 99.99% fake.
This is why I say I'll never be a true 100% believer until I'm on the UFO shaking hands with
the alien. Yeah, yeah. I don't blame you. People just fake shit all the time, man.
Yeah.
All right, so it's this News Nation. they're covering basically what happened last week or what was happening that day with the so now we know that the Senate, Congress and Senate passed the UAP Disclosure Act, right? There was a Schumer amendment, there was a Brichette amendment. I mean, very detailed. It was based on the JFK JFK Disclosure Act, which didn't work anyway, right? And that's what that's why it's so problematic. But now that it passed the Senate, it's passed. But of course, even when things pass, before they go to the president, the Gang of Eight look at it, right? They look at things.
Yeah.
So, and that's what this clip is talking about. So we can go in here. Tell me when you want to pause or something, but we should discuss this also if we can. It's about 4 minutes long. Ross Coulthart is being interviewed about it. And it's basically about what's happening with this UAP Disclosure Act.
A group of senators are trying to change the federal law to require the government to make records on UFOs public. But some whistleblowers, like David Grush and investigative journalist Ross Coulthart, say this bipartisan effort is under attack. Earlier tonight, I spoke with Ross about this, and here's what he told me. Well, Ross, you've heard a few Republican members of Congress, including Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, are trying to defeat this effort to make UAP documents available to the public. Can you explain what you've heard?
Okay, so this proposed Schumer amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act would impose two things in the main. The first is eminent domain, confiscation. It would essentially confiscate for the US taxpayers, for the US government, it would confiscate any UAP technology.
So what do you think about that? I've always had issues with the eminent domain, and I actually predicted that this would happen because, one, it's a very commie clause. You know, we're not very communist. One can argue we are a communist government, but in general, theoretically, you know, we don't like these things where government comes in and just takes over private industry, and right? I mean, we've always been against that. So this eminent domain thing basically says that. It says that the government can go to like Lockheed Martin, even though it gave them these things, right, in theory, go in and claim eminent domain and just take it from them. Now, the only reason I have an issue with this is because I know our government is infiltrated, especially Congress and Senate, by foreign powers, whether it's China, whether it's Israel, whether it's Saudi Arabia, Qatar, anyone with money, have infiltrated our government, you know, and they pay money, they lobby. That's my problem with this. And I'm sure that's what these guys had issues with. I mean, or no, I'm not sure. They were influenced. Yeah.
I take a much more pessimistic view than you even. I mean, the government has proven time and time again that the law doesn't apply to them. They can, you know, doing this stuff and, you know, they can either claim false laws or they just lie about it, or they kill people who speak out against them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly. So they can even take this and then hide it in the government, you know what I mean? Or say like, oh yeah, we made this, or instead of saying that it's alien, because yeah, and we'll see later, even Arrow came out and debunked a bunch of stuff that came out. So I mean, so the eminent domain clause is an issue, and that's what these senators at the top, the Gang of Eight, have an issue with.
Let's assume that what David Grush is saying is true and that there is a flying saucer hidden in a basement somewhere. It would allow that technology to be appropriated by the US government for the best interests of the US people. I would have thought that was an unarguably good idea. The second thing it would do is create a presidential records review board, modeled very much on the JFK records review board. And it would work...
what happened to JFK.
Yeah, how'd that go, huh? And so that act basically, so this is modeled after that act, which was passed in the 90s after the movie JFK. And they gave the government 25 years, and the same thing, they had a board that went through all the documents and would declassify them. How'd that go? Did we get anything?
A lot of printers ran out of black ink that day.
Yeah, and even Trump gets it, because it happened during Trump's era, and he saw them, and he's like, yeah, I'm not releasing them. And Judge Napolitano tells a story that he calls him. He's like, Trump, are you going to release them? And he's like, Judge, even if you read these, you would not release them. Like, what the hell does that mean, man? Anyway, he punted the ball to who? To Biden. What did Biden do? Biden said, hell no.
Fell down some stairs.
Yes, his dementia self. The felt, yeah, maybe that's what happened. And they flew out of his hand, and then they're gone. But he closed it forever. He basically wrote a signed a presidential order that that's it. They're not coming out. So what was the point? What the hell was the point?
Yeah, so, I mean, and here we go again.
Here we go again. So what's Ross saying? Is Ross like some agent or something? Is he some like disinformation agent? Like, okay, anyway, we paused it. Maybe he does talk about that, or maybe he doesn't. But the JFK Disclosure Act got us nothing. We just gaslit us for 25 years, and then at the end said, sorry, we're going to protect you and not release it, or whoever did it.
Like the JFK Records Review Board of disclosure. It would presume that these records should be disclosed unless there's a very good reason for doing so. And there was going to be, if this legislation was passed, it was going to be created in early January next year, and yeah, there would be a report to the president recommending disclosure of just what it is that the US government knows about UAPs, any UAP technology, or any non-human biologics, beings, sentient beings recovered by the US. Preposterous as that may sound, it was the definitive opportunity for the US people to finally get the truth. And guess what? On the holiday weekend, three Republican key political leaders have colluded, presumably at the behest of the defense aerospace industry and the intelligence community, to try to stop this key piece of legislation from being passed as part of the National Defense Authorization Act. And if it...
Now, it is weird, right? Because they don't usually do this. They never do this. When the NDAA, any NDA, if you study back all the way, I think, to 2003, when these started happening, these omnibus bills after 9/11, well, especially the NDAA, they hardly ever do this, where even though it passed the House, it passed the Senate, so unanimously, it passed the Intelligence Committee unanimously. It gets to this point, right? These guys at the top, the tip top right there, and they're like, wait a minute. So they get a call, or maybe the contractors call them, whoever, very powerful people called these people or met with them and said, get this thing out. That's what's scary about this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, something's wrong.
There should be no one who's allowed to do that. I mean, that's way too much power.
Right.
Unelected corruption. Bureaucrats.
Yeah, it's corruption. And who's running the country? Who's is it our representatives of the people? Right? And this is the truth that comes out.
Evil wannabe dictators.
Yeah, wannabe dictators in the shadows, unaccounted, like, you know, they can do whatever they want, and there's no accountability for it. That's the scary part.
Does, I'm sorry, but it's going to set back the process of disclosure some considerable time.
Yeah.
Well, both Republicans and Democrats.
And that's scary. This is our, not, I'm not going to say our only opportunity. I don't want to be that dramatic, but this is the best opportunity we've had since the beginning of this truth embargo. Mm-hmm. It really is. We're not going to have an opportunity like this. Even though I have problems with this eminent domain thing, rewrite it. You know, like, don't block it. Like, these guys, whoever's blocking it, you know, we know them, the Gang of Eight, those guys. Rewrite it. Don't throw it out completely.
Yeah, I didn't even know these people were real. I always thought once it gets past the House and the Senate, the president just has to sign off on it or veto.
I thought that, too. I thought... Yeah, and then he would veto. Exactly. Not that there was another committee to make sure everything was done right. I guess that's a good thing, you know. I mean, against that.
How many members they've all admitted they don't read the bills that get passed.
Right. Them, so who knows? That's true. Yeah, yeah. So that might be the reason, too. So this is Burchett and Luna reacting to these allegations, not allegations, to this news. And this was, it happened over the weekend. Sorry, over the holidays, they mean Thanksgiving.
We were denied access to the SCIF. And so, to my knowledge, what's going to happen now is not only do we have the support of the chairman, but they're going to get a nice letter from Congress. And as you heard, Representative Ogle said, if we're denied, we're going to use the Holman rule. We'll defund the position.
And I was told by leadership that it was blocked by the intelligence community, not the intelligence committee. At the intelligence community, and that is a very chilling effect. If someone can reach through the veil of government and pierce it to the point of we do not have access to something, you got to start asking yourself who the hell's in control. And, yeah. and I think it'd be wise for you all to start looking at some financial disclosures of some of those corporations, some of the people who do the stonewalling in this town.
Right.
And that's what we're going to start doing. We're going to start talking to people. We're going to start naming names. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about this, that something with the capabilities of traveling light years, not showing a heat signature, and the energy capabilities of that, that would put the Pentagon out of business. We wouldn't be fighting these worthless wars overseas over oil, and American boys and girls wouldn't be dying. It would put the war pigs out of business, and they'd have to go somewhere else, and I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
Oh, Bruchette.
Tell him, baby. Tell him.
Well, they're trying to get him out now. That's what he's saying. He's saying that they're trying to, they're trying to get other people, like competitors to him in his district and just get him the hell out.
Yeah. If they can't, there's going to be some sort of surprise stroke or heart attack before Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, they used to easily just assassinate these guys or, So I'm thinking, if they can't just get him out of office, then they will. They'll say this guy needs to leave. So we've been talking about this schism happening, right, in the intelligence community. So there's obviously, our government is not a single block. It is not a uniparty. They're not drones. So these are people. And this effort, this disclosure effort, is obviously some group in the intelligence community wants this out. That's it. Once and for all, it's done. And one wants to keep it secret. So, but the ones that keep it secret are obviously the ones who are more powerful if they can reach to these congressmen, right, and tell them to shut it up. So this came out. And I think this came out, the timing is amazing because it came out when we see this trouble happening in the Senate of them trying to block. So exclusive. CIA's secret office has conducted UFO retrieval missions on at least 9 crash sites around the world, whistleblowers reveal. Now, it's the Daily Mail, right? People might say, it's not a serious publication, but it's been around for a long time. I don't think I have the interview queued up, but these writers, Josh Boswell and Chris Sharp, and Matt Ford, they were interviewed. And they said like how they went through the process of vetting their sources from the CIA. Again, it's the CIA. It could be disinformation. But they're saying here, the Office of Global Access, a wing of the CIA, has played a central role in collecting alien spacecraft since 2003. At least 9 non-human craft have been recovered by the U.S. government, some wrecked from a crash, and 2 completely intact. So,
this is one of those things where I feel like they're giving us something. It's not the truth. It's not the whole truth. It's just something. I do think this is disinformation. But I think if there's a kernel of truth buried in here, just like a lot of these stories that are coming out recently.
Yeah, and right, we can't really. It's anonymous sources. It's very unfortunate, I wish these people would come up, and there's a law there that would protect these people from UAP and UFO, so they could come out and tell everyone who they are, what their experience is, and why they think that. What happened, though? Google scrubbed anything. If you search for the Office of Global Access, should we do that?
Mm-hmm.
They scrubbed it.
Can't find it, huh?
Office of Global Access. Oh no, what's there? Global Access Program. What's this? News Nation. So nothing about the CIA office, though.
All right. Well,
huh.
Chalk it up to the internet being completely different than it was 10 years ago.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. I am, for the record, hogging the bathroom for my roommate here.
Well, how long? Well, because we're only at 25 minutes here.
I know. That's why we gotta get going.
All right. So we got Mr. Tucker had on Bruchette.
They are controlled effectively by the permanent bureau.
I just want to hear
earlier this year, Congress passed something.
His intro is great. We don't have to hear the whole interview.
What's the headline say?
So episode 42, Tucker Carlson. For more than 80 years, the U.S. government has hidden the existence of UFOs. The question is why? The answer is ominous. Yes, ominous. So let's see.
UAP Disclosure Act of 2023. The law requires the U.S. government to tell the public what it knows about the countless unidentified flying objects that have been spotted in the skies above Earth over the past 3,000 years. It's designed to be, and it very well could be, a transformative piece of legislation. And it comes at a time when we can finally say with confidence that the most unlikely sounding theories about UFOs are actually true. Yes, these things are real. They're not all weather balloons. They're not experimental aircraft from this or any other country. Whatever they are not of human origin, nor do they behave according to the laws of known physics. And yes, the U.S. government currently has physical evidence that they exist. That means wreckage of the craft as well as the bodies of the beings that flew them. Amazingly, all of this is true. We know that from the detailed testimony, much of it under oath, from several high-level whistleblowers, including longtime intel officers Lou Elizondo and Dave Grush, both of whom we've talked to. But there have been many, about 10 so far. So the question is, now that the UAP Disclosure Act has passed, when can the rest of us see the information that we paid for and in fact own? Well, not so fast, it turns out. One of the great secrets of Washington, known to everyone inside Washington, is that many of the most powerful members of Congress do not work for their constituents, much less for the rest of us, for the country at large. They are instead puppets of the most secretive federal agencies. They are controlled effectively by the permanent bureaucracy, including through bribery and blackmail. Two such members happen to be especially powerful this term. They are Congressman Mike Rogers of Alabama, who is the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, and Congressman Mike Turner of Ohio, who is chairman of the House Intel Committee.
Ohio, huh? Where's Wright-Patterson Air Force Base? Right in Ohio. And it's weird that he's like the chairman, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. This guy's the chairman. How long has he been the chairman? Or does he get placed right there when they know this is going to pass? Like, I haven't looked into that.
I have no idea.
Is that a coincidence?
Both of these men have been instructed to violate, in letter and in spirit, federal law, and to hide the truth about UFOs from the American public. They're working to do that right now. It is infuriating to watch this. But if you think about it for a second, it's also baffling. Why is this happening? Federal agencies have been lying about UFOs for more than 80 years. This has been a coordinated effort. It is both highly time-consuming and very expensive. Many Americans have been hurt in the process. But why? What's the point of this? Wouldn't it be a lot easier just to release the facts?
Yeah.
Now, the conventional explanation for why they haven't been released is that the U.S. government is lying about UFOs because the truth about UFOs is too scary to reveal, that they're real, and our leaders wouldn't want to panic the population. But that's not true. In fact, it's ridiculous. Wouldn't want to terrify the population? Terrifying the population is what our government does best and most avidly. Officials regularly gin up irrational fears about COVID or white supremacy or Vladimir Putin or a dozen other topics as part of a pretty obvious control strategy. It's not like these people mind it scaring you. They want to scare you, and they do it every day. So why would they lie about UFOs? Well, because they're covering up a crime. Obviously, and it's their crime. Someday we'll discover what that crime is. But in the meantime, here are a few questions that honest lawmakers ought to be asking.
He has Tim Burchett on. they go through that link. So Tim is on there. I want to see if there's any. He's smiling here. He's a happy guy. Oh no, it's going to be stuck. StreamYard's always like, you can plug in is much better than Wi-Fi. Yeah, here he goes. He invites Tim on there, and I'm sure Tim's going to tell him that it's just corruption, it's financial corruption, these guys are owned. Let's see what he says here.
Robust research. Well, you know what robust research means. They want more of your tax dollars. I just want them to come forward with the truthful information that they've been hiding from us for decades.
Do we possess this technology or don't we? And if we do, where is it? And there have been, as noted earlier, a number of pretty ominous indications over the years from apparently informed people that the U.S. government has been in direct contact with these forces, whatever they are, the people who created and flew these objects, whatever they are. But there has been direct dialogue between the U.S. government, maybe other governments, and these entities. Are you aware?
That's so crazy that Tucker's saying this, right? That there's been agreements with these non-human intelligences.
Well, I mean, there's been rumors about that circling around ever since, I think it was like Eisenhower's, like when
the definitely. Yeah, it's just crazy that's reached the point of Tucker. I know Tucker now is not MSM anymore, right? But the guy still gets what does he get, like 5-6 million views on X, or way more, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, he's still a big name openly talking about it. I mean, that's something in and of itself.
Yeah, but I guess
and he's a lot of big names talking about it.
Yeah.
Aware of that? Has anyone even asked that question to say the president of the United States or someone else who could answer it?
I'm aware of it, and I've talked to people about it, but it's just another rabbit hole I go down. And I have to be real careful, Tucker, to be honest with you, because you would not believe the amount of research and things I've gotten poured on me from all over the world. People send me books and photographs and things. And of course, a lot of that is, I think it's fake, because they're trying to get me to embarrass me further, I guess, in this issue, but I'm not biting on all of it. I don't usually put any of it out, actually, just because, you know, I don't know if any of it's, if it's truthful or if it's a government entity putting this garbage out to discredit, you know, this community or what have you. But it's a complete, it shows the mistrust the public has of our government, and for good reason.
Yeah, it's been well earned. So where is this legislation going? I mean, will there be disclosure short term? Will these two committee chairmen, the Speaker of the House, Mitch McConnell, will they shut it down?
Well, the Senate passed it, the amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act, but it hasn't been signed into law yet. The House is in negotiations, from what I understand, over this amendment. I'll be talking to the Speaker today or tomorrow about this amendment and just telling him how important it is to this community. And transparency. That's really all I want is transparency.
You're not going to get it. Yeah, you're not going to get it, Tim. Sorry to tell you.
Well, man, you know what they say. Shoot for the stars.
That's true. Shoot for the stars.
In this case, quite literally.
So, of course, Richard Dolan had a great, one of his best presentations. A long one. We're not gonna, I just put a little clip up here. And I did a nice snippet too, but the article he did was amazing. The video he did about it was amazing. And he covers, you know, what's going on here about the empire. So let's take a listen to Richard Dolan talking about, it's As the Empire Crumbles, UAP Disclosure. That's his title of the article. Yeah.
This empire disintegration. And this is because, in the event of a genuine disclosure, the United States is essentially going to have to admit to the world, not just to United States citizens, but to the world, that it organized an 80-year deception on the planet. How well do you think that's going to go down? Sure, undoubtedly other countries will be implicated in this, yes. But who's going to deny that the United States has always taken the lead role in the global UFO cover-up? The fact is, these people running the American empire right now for any kind of control disclosure, they cannot be trusted. Trusting them to a long-term controlled disclosure process means that they will only follow their own needs, not those of the general public. Maybe I
like
can say
a politician. Whoa.
That's exactly right. So, you know, he's basically saying, you know, this control, because in the act, they have something in the act, the UAP Disclosure Act, about controlled disclosure. So we're trusting the government, who's hid this from us for 80 years, to disclose this, right? So he's saying, yeah, these people who are running this country and this empire are not going to disclose it for us. They'll be disclosing it for them, which means they'll hide things that would hurt them.
Yeah, and they would hide things that would benefit us, the people.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Necessarily those of the general public, but I'm just going to say not those of the general public. These people have not ever, do not now, and will not act in good faith. They have been stuck in a lie that they created 80 years ago, and they have no easy way from which to extract themselves now. Now, some people have said that the alternative to controlled disclosure is catastrophic disclosure. And we can all agree that there are many inherent dangers to a genuine UAP disclosure. I've thought about this many, many times. This also, however, goes for any form of controlled disclosure. I don't think you're out of the woods just because you think you're going to control this process. I think, you know, we fool ourselves into thinking that we have that much control over this process to begin with. It's a very strong human conceit, especially during the last few centuries, that we like to think of ourselves as in control of everything. Our species is the ultimate control freak, after all. But the reality is that any form of disclosure, any, is going to be disruptive.
Yeah, so when they talk about uncontrolled disclosure, what's been referenced is the Disclosure Project in 2001, you know, before 9/11, when mm-hmm. he brought out the 150 witnesses and did the whole press conference. He's saying, people are saying that is a catastrophic disclosure because the government doesn't control it. It wasn't a bad thing when that came out. You know, it's just that the government doesn't have control over it.
Right. As we know, they'd like to have their fingers in just about everything.
And control everything like we're babies. So that is a great presentation. We'll obviously, we'll put the link in the
show notes.
In the show notes and in the description. YouTube, I tried putting all of our show notes in the YouTube description, and they started removing links, saying that it's spam. So what I started to do now, at least we can put links now. Remember, because they wouldn't allow us to put links. So we can put links now, but I'll put a link to our to the episode on Spotify, that, and then you can go to the show notes there.
You could also, when you're putting up the links on YouTube, the ones that get taken down, just like instead of putting .com like normal, like spell out, you know, dot.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right. Okay. So I'll try that then. So this is Joe Khalil. I think that's definitely an Arabic name. So he's probably Palestinian or something. But he works for News Nation. He got, God, I forget his name now. Give me one second. It's got to be Turner. Is it Senator Turner? He's one of the ones who's blocking it. Senator Turner. Yeah, so he's the one. He's one of the senators that's blocking it. He's the one from Ohio, right, where Rat Patterson Air Force Base is. Mm-hmm, so he caught him coming out, and he asked him some questions about why he's doing what he's doing.
We have heard that you had some opposition to that language. Is that true? And if it is, what are your objections to it?
Sure. Well, I've spoken to Senator Rounds about this directly, and I'm not holding up his provision at all. I do think it's a poorly drafted piece of legislation.
Wait, first of all, who still has ringtones?
I think that's one of those things where, like, if you're an important enough person, you can't miss a call.
Oh, okay.
So or you can't have excuse.
It's a good excuse to say, oh, sorry, I got to take this call kind of thing. Like, I can get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, what I really find interesting about what I call the pro-alien caucus over here in the House, unlike you, not one of them has ever spoken to me about any of these issues. I mean, you and I are speaking. It's, you would think that if this is that important of an issue to them, at least one member of the House who's, you know, advancing this cause would actually come up and substantively talk to me about this issue. No one has even raised it. Okay. Perhaps you might want to ask them why they haven't.
Okay. I'd love to do that.
And bye-bye. That's
great
weird.
Deflection.
Is he lying?
Great is deflection. Lying?
I know. Yeah, it's their fault, right? Why? what the hell, so man?
His real answer was he thought it was poorly written. Doesn't right. describe how it's poorly written. And since it passed the House and the Senate, it couldn't have been that poorly written. And then blames the alien caucus, as he calls it. That they haven't come and spoken to him, like he's the mafioso leader.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's exactly what he's saying.
This is the day of my daughter's wedding.
You're so right. You're so right. They're like, you know, if you want this to pass, come talk to me. You know, what do I get out of it? You know what I mean? The pro alien caucus. Wow. He's like just already defaming them right there. So that's the guy. He's one of them. He's one of the guys holding it up. And I'm not surprised by his attitude. So this Steve Bassett, he's been very involved in the language of the UAP Disclosure Act, right? He's, a lot of the language we see is from him. Also, Danny Sheehan, you know, they've been involved with this for a very, very long time. So it's a good interview. It's short. It's not very long, actually. But it's good, I think, to hear his point of view on this, about what's going on with the UAP Disclosure Act, the stonewalling of it, what's really in the act, you know, all the, I guess, not accurate information about it. Like we just spoke about, like the JFK Assassination Act, the committee that's there. If you remember, there was, we'll get to it. But yeah, so let's take a listen to what he said. This is on
November 23rd.
November 23rd. So yeah, is U.S. Senate Bill 22226 almost government UAP ET disclosure?
States government on the facts surrounding an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. Close quote.
The government knew that ending the truth embargo was going to raise a lot of awkward questions, issues they were going to have to be candid about. And a lot of people were not going to be happy about it. It should have been done 76 years ago when you've been misrepresenting truth for 76 years. And now you're going to have to acknowledge the government's known about it all along. It's going to be awkward. By doing this properly and thoroughly in the manner that they're doing it, setting up all this legislation, they're showing that they're doing the right thing, that they're trying to service public need in a thorough way. So public relations process. Imagine the president of the United States, for whatever reason, being forced to actually go into the East Room and out of nowhere declare that we're not alone and we have this non-human presence. For whatever reason, it could be something ETs are doing. It could be our intelligence community learned that Xi Jinping was about to do it within a few days, and that would be a significant matter. And we hadn't done this in legislation. They may say, you first. So the president, in order to assure that we are the first to do this, he announces the ET presence. The next day, things get pretty intense, don't they? There's no legislation. There's no arrow. There's been no process in which they've gone through all of this and the people have gotten acclimated. It's just literally the gun goes off and all hell breaks loose. And that's not good. That's bad. And so they knew that to get to a point where the president could confirm the ET presence, all of this stuff had to be put in place in order to deal with the post-disclosure issues and the post-disclosure world. And they put it together.
So he's basically saying that all this legislation, all these laws, Arrow, the UAP Disclosure Act, it's all there just in case someone other than the United States discloses the reality of aliens and UFOs. And I think there's something going on like that. In the background, people are saying something happened with propulsion, or someone discovered something. And when they say someone, they're not saying the US. Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably China. They probably successfully reverse engineered something. And they might disclose it.
I think the reason Russia and China haven't stepped up and done a full disclosure, or any other country for that reason, is they kind of want to see what happens to the country that does it first, which is why they waited for the U.S. to do it.
Right.
They want to see how upset or excited or whatever the citizens are, which is an interesting move, because countries like, you know, Russia and China like to brag about their accomplishments. So it's an interesting game of cat and mouse that we got going on.
Yeah, and you know, I think that the UFO file is owned by a trans. I'm not the only one that thinks this, but it's owned by a transnational group. Right, they're not Americans, or they don't have no really loyalty to America or Russia or China, and they're the ones who ultimately own this. So these countries really means not much. So I mean, they can dictate to each country what to do and say. But the thing is, those countries like Russia and China and whatever are way more controlled than we are. We're still very controlled, but our system of government still allows these cracks of real democratic things to come in, right? So we can try and force an issue, but then, as we can see, once it gets really to the top, they shut it down. So it's interesting how Steve is just saying, though, that they're trying to create an infrastructure just to get ready for, if it's not us, that someone else discloses it.
I was going to say, I mean, that's not a bad move, but all of these all of these things that they put in place is now they're now being used against the U.S. people, as well as, you know, keeping other countries in check.
Right, and he's all for this UAP Disclosure Act, I think, because he had a great part in writing it. Steve Bass is very, very well known, very respected. So, you know, he's done amazing work for this movement, and he's been at it for decades.
In 3 years, from December of 2020 until December of 2023, though the process got underway in December of 2017, when the To the Stars Academy people came out, they took the issue to the New York Times. So that was like a ramp up, 3 years, a lot was going on.
Just within the last couple of weeks, Sean Kirkpatrick, who...
Okay, that's the voice of Linda Moulton Howe. So that's on her show. Steve Bassett was interviewed. So they also, well, News Nation asked Nick Pope about what's going on. Oh, no, sorry. They asked him about the whole CIA leak of the 9 crashes that they got. We can listen to him. He's an MI5, right? That's the local one. He was part of the MOD, the Ministry of Defense. They used to have a UFO office. So since he's retired, right, he's been out. And so they're asking him about what the CIA, the Daily Mail article. Let's see what he thinks about that.
Report alleging that a secret branch of the CIA was conducting all these UFO retrieval missions.
Well, the CIA's Office of Global Access is exactly the kind of body that one would expect to be involved in recoveries if these stories are true. Normally, they extract personnel and items of interest from extremely difficult countries to get people and things out of. So these are the people you'd go to. And this story was amazing. I mean, nine crashed vehicles. But look, in a sense, you only need one crashed vehicle for this to be the most game-changing, paradigm-changing story in history.
Yeah, and this story has just...
Man, imagine just one of those. It's like a time machine. If they are from like non-human intelligences, they are like thousands of years ahead of us. It's like in all these, you know, mythical stories we've had in the past, right? Where you get these gifts from the gods, and it's priceless. The amount of money you can make from just one of these is priceless.
And yeah,
it makes secrecy. It makes sense. From that angle,
and this, I guess, I don't know. I dream of a day where I can take my small children to the UFO museum and go check out all the different crashed UFOs. one day,
yeah, wouldn't that be cool? And how come our kids can't grow up to be Buck Rogers? You know, what's wrong with that?
Yeah,
instead we're trying to, I don't know what. Oh, so this. So they're upset, obviously, the UAP caucus. This was on Thursday or Friday, but they did a press conference about the stonewalling. Liz Brichette, Luna, I think Muskowitz is in there. There's someone else I don't know. Oh, yeah, Matt Gaetz. Hey, let's go to Matt Gaetz, actually, because he talks about...
Everybody ready? You got a white balance. Spend a whole hell of a lot of time and effort and money.
Sounds is not good, huh?
No, it's really quiet.
It does not exist. And so, fortunately, another amendment I introduced this year, it was to increase transparency. And honestly, this is what...
Luna's good. Here, let's listen to her.
Act, which I would ask that if you see to my left, you have Representative Brichette's language, and it should be added. As we know, we do not want to go forward with fake promises to the American people. I'd also like to speak on the issue that some members have stonewalled our efforts to get transparency, and this is also unacceptable. No one member is above another, and the American people deserve to know as much about the existence in this universe as possible. They certainly have a right to know about whether or not their safety is threatened, and most especially when it comes to our men and women defending us in the skies. This is a simple answer. Stop barring us from the truth.
Yeah. some might say she's naive.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Where's Gaetz? I want to get to Gaetz.
So I'm happy to be here. Mike Rogers, He allowed the Burchett Amendment to go on the bill without objection. And I think he is to be commended for that. And also when my colleagues, Ms. Luna and Mr. Burchett and I were at an Air Force base and were told by Air Force officials that we weren't allowed to see information that whistleblowers had expressed to us existed, it was in fact Chairman Rogers himself who personally engaged with the Office of the Secretary of Defense and gave us the opportunity to view the images that were taken by pilots of some of these unidentified aerial phenomena. So work to be done, but we hope that this gives you clarity as to what our goals are, how the scope and depth of the mission ahead.
Yeah, scope of the corruption too. That's nuts.
Yeah, and Matt was mostly, is it here? Because he talks about the 25-year thing, which I don't understand.
Yesterday, where members of the House and Senate both raised this issue in debate, and the strongest resistance to transparency and disclosure and the Burchett language has come from the House Intelligence Committee.
Hmm.
Other questions? Yeah, Ryan.
So when you raise these concerns about the intel community being the ones that seems to be the rope and you ask questions, is it your suspicion then that what these phenomena are more likely to be are intelligence technology opposed to little green men? Is that what you're trying to figure out?
Little green men.
Yeah, I think that the ambiguity there creates frustration among all of us. The fact that we don't...
What is up with the press, man? Why ask a question like that? Despite it being little green men, you know, it's just
because
we've never even found little green men.
Because it's the same thing they're always doing. It's the mainstream media. They're trying to get some clickbaity title to print so they can make the quote unquote alien caucus look like idiots, even though they've had whistleblowers and all these military people come forward and tell their version of events. You know, the current trend right now is still, hey, people who believe in UFOs are kooks. So, you know, that's, they're going to do everything in their power to run with that.
And that press conference. Yeah. And you're right. But you'd think like from the beginning of that press conference, Burchett is like, well, okay, yeah, fine. If it's funny and we're kooks and it's really crazy, then why are they blocking it? You know, prove exactly. Us wrong. Right. and they just won't. So about the biggest issue with Schumer's UAP Disclosure Act is that they want to take 25 years to release things. So here's an explanation of that. Like, you know, what would happen? Here's an important clarification regarding the 25-year rule. This is the UAP caucus on Twitter. Now, is that congressional UAP caucus? Or is this
I don't know. Christopher, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, no, too small.
So it was,
go ahead.
So they said at least 8 alleged UFO crash retrievals would be immediately declassified if UAPDA, which is UAP Disclosure Act, as written, becomes law, unless explicitly blocked by Biden. The provision in the UAPDA regarding UAP records older than 25 years operates under a presumption of automatic declassification. But it's important to clarify the process. Oh, okay. And that's why it's different from the JFK one. But it's important to clarify the process and the role of the review board and the president in this context. Presumption of release. Records older than 25 years are presumed to be declassified automatically. This means that, in principle, once any UAP record reaches the 25-year mark, it will be declassified without requiring a specific approval process by the review board. This means all UAP records before 1998 would carry this presumption on day one. That means we're talking about like Roswell. We're talking
about...
Yeah,
but it has to go... Oh, wait, did it say without process by the review
board? Yeah, without requiring a specific approval process by the review board. I think the review board reviews something once it becomes 25 years.
Yeah.
Immediate
anyway,
action.
There's a lot of info here. I recommend for our listeners or viewers on YouTube to go check it out, read it for yourself, because this is a fat chunk of info on this bill that they're trying to get passed.
Yeah, and that'd be so cool, declassify Roswell and the Kingman. I really got really interested into the Kingman UFO, which is the one that it was three UFOs that crashed in Kingman, Arizona, after we tested hydrogen bombs in Nevada, Upshot Knot Hole, in 1953. So that would be cool if they declassify that. That came with beings too. All right, so this clip. This is Robert Wood. He runs the Majestic12Documents.com, and he's a retired. He worked with Skunk Works, and when he retired, he wanted to basically, you know, prove that there is a program going in government reverse engineering, and he got fed the Majestic 12 documents, and so he tells a story here of a guy. Here, let's just listen to him. But he tells a story about those documents and then the release of the book he did, which is out of print now, which is really too bad.
After that, and I called up Hal Puthoff, who was my friend, and said, this guy claims that he knows you. He said, oh, yeah, Joe Firmage, he's a good guy.
Joe Firmage, and I don't know who he is.
So I called Joe back and said, yeah, okay. He said, well, I got a yacht in Newport Beach, and you live there. How about coming down this Sunday and showing me the documents? So I said, okay. So I found his boat, showed him all the documents, and my first wife had been pretty skeptical about my wasting my time on UFOs after I retired. So I had a little skeptical attitude when I visited with Joe. But Joe looked at him, he said, these are exactly what I want. And
when he says looked at them, it's the Majestic 12 documents that are on those site, which are amazing to look at.
He said, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you the opportunity, if I authenticate these, then I will print 2,000 copies of the documents, and you can have those and sell them. And so I said, well, Joe, is that all? Did you have any other cash involved? Oh, he said, I forgot. And he opened his briefcase and he took out a check already made out to me for $500,000.
Wow. So, you know, the UFOs are clearly a complete waste of time for you. Right. And you shouldn't focus any more time on that.
That's right. So I came home from that meeting, and my wife said, well, how'd the meeting go with Joe? And I said, well, pretty good. She looked at the check and said, how do you know it's any good?
So, she still didn't believe it. That's a good wife. That's crazy. I need to look into this Joe Fergia. What did he say? Who he is? Maybe he's a CIA officer, but it was someone, obviously, in a yacht in Newport Beach, got money, obviously, gave this guy $500,000 to authenticate the documents and then print them. And we know those documents have been printed. And there's a book linked to that site. I've been trying to find it. I can't find anything. It's on archive.io, is it? Or is it .info.org, archive.org. You can find it there. Or go to his website, Majestic 12, or themajesticdeckofdocuments.com. Amazing. There's such great reason. Have you ever been to that site?
No, but I've done my own research on it.
It's so good. Yeah, but he goes beyond the Majestic 12 stuff because other things were released. Like there's an Oppenheimer and Einstein document that they wrote together. They were asked to write a white paper about extraterrestrials and how we would deal with them politically. So there's a document like that on there. There's the twinning memo is on there too. Anyway, so all this talk with UFOs and nukes, this came up again, even though it's 2010. Great book called UFOs and Nukes. Highly recommended. So the author did a press conference, and that's what this clip is. And his father, I think, was a Minuteman guy or something like that. So he interviewed hundreds of officers that were responsible for our nukes. And he wrote a book about it called UFOs and Nukes. So this is the press conference, just a minute long.
Declassified U.S. government documents and witness testimony from former or retired U.S. military personnel confirm beyond any doubt the reality of ongoing UFO incursions at nuclear weapons sites. When I say UFO, the witnesses have described these craft as disc-shaped or cylindrical-shaped or spherical. These objects are capable of both hovering and high velocity flight, usually completely silently. Over the past 37 years, I have personally located and interviewed more than 120 of these former or retired military personnel, all of whom report UFO incidents at one or more of the following locations: nuclear missile sites, nuclear weapons storage areas, and nuclear weapons test sites in Nevada and the Pacific during the era of atomic atmospheric testing. I believe these gentlemen believe that this planet is being visited by beings from another world who, for whatever reason, have taken an interest in the nuclear arms race, which began at the end of World War II. Regarding the missile shutdown incidents, my opinion, their opinion, is that whoever are aboard these craft are sending a signal to both Washington and Moscow, among others, that we are playing with fire, that the possession and threatened use of nuclear weapons potentially threatens the human race and the integrity of the planetary environment.
Wow.
Yeah.
This was from 2010, you said, right?
From 2010, yeah, it's a great book. I have it. It's basically just interviews with every single one of those. But, you know, we want proof. We want data. There's the data, you know. People say, you know, do we believe these men? Why wouldn't we believe these men? You know, they were in charge of nukes. You know how many tests you have to go through, like psychological tests? And I think actually every week or every month you have to go through through psychological testing, because it's not a joke, right? You could destroy the planet. Oh, I had a bad day. I'm going to nuke this country. You know, it's like they have the power to do that. So now many would argue that nukes gives our elites, or who represent our species, so let's say our species, give our species like a kind of a supremacy or a freedom to act like we want, right? Away from like being dictated by these quote-unquote gods how to act and how to behave. You know, and I don't know how else to say that. And that's why we just have this stockpile. And that's why all these other countries have this stockpile. And they've been working together. It's like a pro-human thing to have these nukes, in a way, what I've read. Just to deter these aliens and these beings that they've always been controlling us. But now, you know, we have our own destiny. We're controlling our own destiny. Something like that. So there's that argument, too. I don't know if I'm all for it. But, you know, we all share this reality, and maybe nukes not just hurt us, but they hurt other dimensions.
Very well could.
Right, there's that argument also. You shared this with me. I remember seeing this a while ago. It's an amazing clip.
Yeah, so right after I sent this to you, I was looking at the comments. Unbeknownst to me, the Y-Files were writing his coattails again, essentially covered what this guy covered. And there's no really real debunking of it, because it's just people telling things that they believe happened to them. You can't debunk that unless you can prove they're outright lying, which, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I told you I saw a goldfish with legs walking around the thing here, the rehab center, you know, yes, it's super unlikely and I'm probably lying about it, but you can't technically disprove that I didn't see that. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's hearsay, or not hearsay. It's what you said. It's your witness testimony. So this guy doesn't talk about any projects he worked on, or so it's obviously he's being recorded without being known. Right. And it's a class. I don't know if he's a teacher or if he's one of the students in there. It's a military class. Looks like he's being recorded, and he got up in front of the class and he's telling them about aliens and grays. So we can take a listen.
These are the aliens that you've seen?
That is not gray.
That is not gray.
Which ones do you see?
He's right here. The small gray. They had a mouth.
How do they breathe?
They have nostrils, but they don't.
Do they breathe oxygen?
Yes, they can breathe oxygen. The atmosphere on their planet is very similar, but it's a binary star system. So they have like two suns.
In which it's data reticuli.
Yeah.
Bones are more fragile than ours.
I don't think this is really worth going through, to be honest. I highly encourage our audience to check it out. He goes through, I mean, many of these different species of EBEs we have spoken about on the show, or will, or you've already heard of. But he goes into each different species that he's encountered and like how they live and stuff like that. And it's also touched on in the newest Wyatt Files episode, which I'm assuming you haven't watched that yet, but it's pretty
good. I haven't watched that. No. So this guy, he's running the class and he's talking about Project Serpo, I think, where we had an exchange.
Yeah, I think that's a weird one. Serpo's largely been debunked, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think sure it's one of those based on a true story, you know. But if you look at the actual, have you read Journey to the Planet Serpo?
I don't think so. No,
it makes no sense. Like when they start listing out, it was a website. That just contained letters. Someone had like made a diary of their.
Oh, experience. I remember that from the 90s. Yeah. And that came up because of the Majestic 12 documents. There was one that was burned that's on that site. It was burned and it's not called Project Serpo. It's called something else. I'm forgetting now. But it was a project. And yeah, it was basically based on that. So that's why it's kind of debunked. Yeah. Especially.
Yeah. But I mean, like, Serpo. If you look into when they started listing out the different things they brought, like they didn't bring enough. They were like, they knew they were going to be there for 12 years, but also the aliens on Serpo didn't keep track of time. So like, that doesn't make any sense. How would they, you know, like how would they know when to send them? That doesn't matter. And like, they didn't bring enough food and it just, none of it really makes a whole lot of sense.
Enough food? What, to go to another planet?
For 12 years. Yeah.
But that planet's not going to have food for them?
I don't know. I mean, would you jump on a... Okay, guys, here's a week worth of food. Hope you figure it out. See you in 12 years.
Yeah, it shouldn't take them that long either, right? If they're going to go that far.
All right, so what we got here?
North Carolina man recounts UFO sighting that left him with a feeling of dread. It felt like there was a higher power. So this was November 29th. So I get these alerts. Google alerts of UFOs or UAPs. So sometimes I get these articles of eyewitness reports that happened. So after they faded away, I went back in my house and never told anybody about this experience. This is in North Carolina. A witness has recounted how an unknown object, which he believes was a UFO, flying over his trailer park left him terrified. The resident of North Carolina said the incident left him fearful for his life. Again, that ominous feeling. Last year, I think I had my first real-time UFO encounter, a witness wrote, in a now deleted Reddit post shared by Bro Bible. The man lived in a trailer park, but there were no air bases nearby, he clarified. He saw what he believed was a UFO over his mailbox around 8 p.m. and had three red lights. They weren't bright, but definitely had an aura and glow at them. None of them were blinking like planes or anything like that. They were in an upside-down triangle position, the person wrote. Two of them stood still, and the one on the top left corner of the triangle started moving to the left and then back to the right and stopped back in perfect position. He said that as he stared at the UFO, it appeared as though it was trying to communicate with him, almost like it was trying to show me something. They sat there for, I want to say, around 3 minutes and then just ended up fading and dimming away, he wrote. He went on to say that the incident left him with a feeling of dread. Felt like there was a higher power, he said. After they faded away, I went back in my house and never told anybody about this experience. The witness said, although the incident took place a long time ago, he still feels afraid thinking about it. I feel like I sound crazy, but I just haven't felt the same since that encounter and really needed to tell someone, even if it's some random people online. So he was clearly, you know...
This is interesting. The day you sent this to me, one of my classes here, we were talking about electromagnetism and the effects that it can have on the brain. You know, they ran all these tests and some people were saying, you know, as the current was running through my head, I thought I could feel the presence of God. You know, so some people after these experiments became super religious. Some of them lost their religion. And there's very commonly people would say, even though they're laying down, you know, in a reclined chair, they thought there was someone like laying right beneath them and behind them. And electromagnetism comes up a lot in UFOs, and the feeling of dread and feeling that there's a higher power goes hand in hand with what we study. I thought that was a fun little coink-a-dink.
Yeah, nothing's really coincidence, huh?
Or what's it called? The better word, there's no such thing as coincidences. What's another word for coincidence?
Oh, you mean the synchronicities?
Yes, synchronicity.
Synchronicities, yeah. And for those that do recognize synchronicities, it becomes then a game with the universe. You know, they'll just keep showing up. And all that talk about electromagnetism and our soul. And so this account on Twitter, we follow each other, is great. Tristan, he has a plasma body, basically our soul. Pressman elaborated this concept of bioinformation within the body in such a vivid manner. So I think this goes with the whole electromagnetic thing. An electromagnetic field is giving us dread or a higher power, especially if it's affecting our biofield, right? They're calling this. So Pressman said that every human body in the upright position was essentially an ellipsoid, a sort of elongated sphere for purposes of analysis of currents and fields. Here are his drawings showing what he meant. So these are the drawings right here. And these are electromagnetic fields. So, of course, that goes to what you just said. Of course, it's going to have an effect on humans, whether it's by saucers or any other, you know, microwaves, directed microwaves, I mean. And that's where tinfoil hat comes from, you know, because that repels electromagnetic waves. And we make fun of these people, you know, for being that way. So there's that. There's a lot of other stuff. I don't know. If you are in a hurry, we could wrap up, by the way. There's a lot of other stuff.
I feel bad,
but yeah.
I don't want to hog the bathroom any more than I have.
Okay, I mean we've done an hour and 11 minutes. Well, this, you know, I'm not convinced, but a lot of work has been done into this. It's a great interview. It's about the Tic Tacs and all these things we're seeing. There's a lot of evidence that it's us or China now, even the Tic Tac. And I think we did share this not last week, but the week before. This channel. That aerogels can be utilized to be UFOs, to encapsulate, to basically aerogels can, you can get the vacuum out of aerogels so they can be lighter than air, and that's how they can float. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a long interview, but they go through that, the Tic Tac, and this guy, I don't know how he knows, but he thinks that it is Chinese technology, especially the one in 2017. But it's not really a dynamic interview for us to put on the show, but definitely our listeners should go and listen to this, because this guy right here on the right, he's a scientist, you know.
You can tell because he's got a shirt that says NASA on it.
No, but his channel is really cool. He does get things leaked to him. What else do I have? Oh, you know what? There was also the whole Musk thing that happened. I want to share the final 1 minute, because I think all of us by now, I think now all of us have seen what he said to the advertisers. He told them to fuck off, right?
Yeah.
We've all seen that. You know, he's like, you're trying to blackmail me? Fuck you. F you. Go fuck yourself, he said. And then when he said that they would bring down the platform, take that up with Earth. But no one talks about the final minute here where he talks about. And I think this is the important one. Not the go fuck yourselves. Right here. Of course. What minute was that?
It's the one where someone used AI to put Elon Musk
on
the
ships
fall where they may approach to those.
Yeah. Actually, does he talk about? Yeah, we'll do that. Wait, 340.
Businesses, I don't think.
No, we focus on making the best products, and Tesla has gotten to where it's gotten with no advertising at all.
I understand that.
Tesla currently sells twice as much in terms of electric vehicles as the rest of electric car makers in the United States combined. Tesla has done more to help the environment than all other.
Just put in context who he's talking to here. He's talking to the top 500 corporations CEOs that are in this summit. So this put in context who this guy's talking to.
Companies combined. It would be fair to say that, therefore, as a leader of the company, I've done more for the environment than everyone else, any single human on Earth.
How do you feel about that?
how do I feel about that?
Yeah, no, I'm asking you personally how you feel about that, because this goes, we're talking about power and influence and
I'm saying what I care about is the reality of goodness, not the perception right. of it. And what I see all over the place is people who care about looking good while doing evil. Fuck them.
Oh man, I don't know how he's still like the quote unquote richest guy in the world, right?
Yeah, well, it's like that keyboard activism. People go on X or Facebook or Instagram or whatever, I don't even know, you know, and they post about how much they support the cause or whatever yeah. it is, but they're not doing anything other than that.
Yeah, what was it called? Altruism, like Sam Bankman-Fried, right? Wasn't he that guy? That he was, what is that called? Yeah, something to do with altruism. Capitalist altruism, but yeah, it's all a lie. It's a show. So here's that what you were talking about. So we can end the show on this. This is funny.
Perfect.
Yeah, let's watch this.
So if you're ready, let's go for the million. If Bob Iger was in the room with you right now, what would you say to him? Eat a bag of dicks? Suck on my peepee? Disney Plus is gay? Go fuck yourself.
I'd like to use one of my lifelines and phone a friend.
Okay, who would you like to call?
I'd like to call Bob Iger.
All right. Our friends at AT&T will get Bob Iger on the line, and we'll see if he can help you.
Hello?
Hello, Bob.
Yeah.
Hi, Regis Philbin here from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Hi.
We've got Elon Musk with us right now. He's won $500,000.
Wow.
And he's going for $1 million. And he needs your help to get there.
Okay.
So he's going to come on the line, read a question, 4 possible answers. One of them is the right answer. Elon, you've got 30 seconds. Starts right now.
Hey, Bob.
Hi.
I don't really need your help. I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to win $1 million. Go fuck yourself.
He's won $1 million.
Oh my God.
And what I see all over the place is people who care about looking good while doing evil. Are you walking, Danny? Are
you walking? All right.
What a great video. Right. I love the well, internet. I love it.
Thank you all so much for listening to the Uncovering Anomalies podcast. That is I Want to Believe Adam. I am Sober Topher. And Adam, why don't you tell the audience at home where they can find us on social media?
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter. That is our main platform that we use on social media. We haven't opened up anything else. Let me know if you want to, but I don't think everyone else will just probably take us off. So yeah, we're at UAP the podcast. That's our handle. You can follow Topher at Topher It All. You can follow me at Breakaway Civil. So I'm on there also. And we're on all major podcasting platforms. We're on YouTube at Uncovering Anomalies Podcast. We're on Rumble, which mirrors our stuff on YouTube at UAP Podcast. And I think that's about it. We might go into like Odyssey. Odyssey's gone. That's right. It's gone. I mean, it's still there, but the organization Odyssey's gone.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's mostly it. So again, review us, give us your feedback, share us with everyone. I think our show gives a lot of value for people who don't have enough time to really follow the news of UAP and UFO. We do a great roundup of what's happening, and other things too, you know. So I think from my end, that's about it. And this is episode 48, Topher. 48. I know.
Wow. Well,
we're serious.
Thank you all for sticking with us through the last couple weeks. I know things have been a little bit helter-skelter, and that's my bad, so I apologize. But you know what? Things are getting better every day. And just taking it one day at a time, one foot in front of the other, all those other fun sayings. and we will see you all next week.
See you all next week.